The Sea by John Banville. Read by Jim Norton. They departed, the gods, on the day of the strange tide. All morning, under a milky sky, the waters in the bay had swelled and swelled, rising to unheard-of heights, the small waves creeping over parched sand that for years had known no wetting save for rain, and lapping the very bases of the dunes. The rusted hulk of the freighter that had run aground at the far end of the bay longer ago than any of us could remember must have thought it was being granted a relaunch. I would not swim again after that day. The seabirds mewed and swooped, unnerved, it seemed, by the spectacle of that vast bowl of water bulging like a blister, lead-blue, and malignantly at gleam. They looked unnaturally white that day, those birds. The waves were depositing a fringe of soiled yellow foam along the waterline. No sail marred the high horizon. I would not swim. No, not ever again. Someone has just walked over my grave. Someone. The name of the house is The Cedars, as of old. A bristling clump of those trees, monkey brown with a tarry reek, their trunks nightmarishly tangled, still grows at the left side, facing across an untidy lawn to the big curved window of what used to be the living room, but which Miss Vavasor prefers to call, in landlady ease, the lounge. The front door is at the opposite side, opening onto a square of oil-stained gravel behind the iron gate that is still painted green, though rust has reduced its struts to a tremulous filigree. I am amazed at how little has changed in the more than 50 years that have gone by since I was last here. Amazed and disappointed, I would go so far as to say appalled, for reasons that are obscure to me, since why should I desire change, I who have come back to live amidst the rubble of the past? I wonder why the house was built like that, sideways on, turning a pebble-dashed windowless white-end wall to the road. Perhaps in former times, before the railway, the road ran in a different orientation altogether, passing directly in front of the front door. Anything is possible. Miss V is vague on dates, but thinks a cottage was first put up here early in the last century, the century before last, I'm losing track of the millennia, and then was added on to haphazardly over the years. That would account for the jumbled look of the place, with small rooms giving on to bigger ones, and windows facing blank walls, and low ceilings throughout. The pitch-pine floors sound a nautical note, as does my spindle-backed swivel chair. I imagine an old seafarer dozing by the fire, landlubbered at last, and the winter gale rattling the window frames. Oh, to be him. To have been him. When I was here all those years ago, in the time of the gods, the Cedars was a summer house for rent by the fortnight or the month. During all of June each year, a rich doctor and his large, raucous family infested it. We did not like the doctor's loud-voiced children. They laughed at us and threw stones from behind the unbreachable barrier of the gate. And after them, a mysterious middle-aged couple came, who spoke to no one, and grimly walked their sausage dog in silence, at the same time, every morning, down Station Road to the Strand. August was the most interesting month at the Cedars for us. The tenants then were different each year, people from England or the continent, the odd pair of honeymooners, whom we would try to spy on, and once even a fit-up troupe of itinerant theatre people, who were putting on an afternoon show in the village's galvanized tin cinema. And then, that year, came the family grace. The first thing I saw of them was their motor car, parked on the gravel inside the gate. It was a low-slung, scarred and battered black model, with beige leather seats and a big spoked polished wood steering wheel. Books, with bleached and dog-eared covers, were thrown carelessly on the shelf under the sportily raked back window. And there was a touring map of France, much used.